Now in chapter 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Every principle of Old Testament law was fulfilled by this one law, love one another. Well, you understand that. If you love somebody, you're not going to kill them. If you're practicing God's kind of love, you're not going to lie. If you're practicing God's kind of love, you're not going to steal. All of those commandments are wrapped up in this one law. This, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended, which we would say summed up. In this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. This one law about agape love, the love that Jesus showed, the love that was the Father's that Jesus demonstrated on earth, is now resident in me. Now look back at Romans 5. The day you got born again, that kind of love was poured into your spirit, into your inner man. It's a good thing it was, because you'll never do this with willpower. Most of us don't have enough willpower to refuse a second piece of pie. So I know willpower is not going to put you over in the love realm. You can decide, you can realize this conversation is going astray and you're just not going to say anything, and you say, I'm not going to say anything, and you're just nodding and trying to get out of the situation, and next thing you know, 5 minutes later, you said it. Have you done that? And the minute you said it, guess what you realized? Should never have said it. Should never. I knew I shouldn't have said that. But this is a supernatural love. Hope, verse 5, chapter 5, makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. We would probably say poured into. In your heart, your spirit, your inner man, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The day you were born again, you became a new creature with eternal life. The Holy Ghost came resident. You became God's temple. And the love of God, because the divine nature, eternal life, is in you. The love of God is in you, because God is love. That's who He is. That's His nature. And now you possess His nature. And I have to decide to let that nature guide my life, which means I'm going to have to ignore the nature of the flesh. Because the flesh is do for me, give to me, bring to me, I need, I want. Doesn't it? Usually it does. And sometimes the mind is renewed and sometimes it's confused. You've noticed that, right? The love of God, how greater still. The last verse of that song was found written, etched in stone in an early insane asylum. And it talks about if the whole sky was a parchment and all the ocean was ink, the love of God could not be adequately written on the parchment of the sky with the ink of the ocean. It was found in an insane asylum, etched on the wall. Now, the man that wrote that wasn't really too insane. He may have been a captive, but he knew God. And that's what you have on the inside. Love is on the inside. So why is that important? Because faith works by love, and faith is the way we're going to be healed, with our faith. You can have faith. There are many avenues of faith. You can simply have faith in the Word. God said it, I believe it, that's it. You can have faith in anointing with oil. You can have faith in the transfer of power through the laying on of hands. You can have faith in the mighty name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what avenue of faith you choose, but it is your faith in the covenant of God that was secured by the one sacrifice. One sacrifice, many in the old, continually in the old, but those sacrifices covered sin. They could not remit, blot out, or take away sin like Jesus' sacrifice. And it is the love of God that's poured into you, that divine nature that's going to put you over, that's going to anchor you in difficult times. Now, if you're in real life, you know they've used the scripture. Jesus said it shall need be that offenses come. In other words, you are going to have a chance to be angry. You are going to have a chance to get mad. You've already noticed that, right? I'll tell you that. The word offense comes from the historical rendering, a trap stick. A trap stick is the little lever, or if you use a rat trap, it's the lever you put the bait on. And so when the mouse, and you put cheese with peanut butter on it, in case you didn't know that, I'll tell you. And when you put that bait, and when he takes that bait, it snaps and he's captured. And offense and anger and maliciousness and bitterness captures us. And once we're captured, faith comes to a standstill. It's inoperative. It's a roadblock. It's blocked by your animosity. Just like that lady's healing wasn't blocked by her faith. Her faith worked instantly when she repented. So this is very important to receive in our healing. We can cultivate our faith. We should. We can read the Word, meditate day and night. But we need to meditate day and night on the love scriptures. Now, that's why when the Lord began to instruct me to write a book, I wrote on love, because that's the only thing I knew anything about. Because I had read the scriptures, I had them all. We typed them. We didn't have a computer. We typed all the love scriptures, and I had read them over and over and over again. While the children were at the beach playing on the edge of the water, I'm sitting up there in my chair going over the love scriptures, because I had had an occasion of animosity, and I'm trying not to let that take root. It says root of bitterness. See, if I let love slide, it takes root. Root is not a shallow. It's not superficial once it takes root. Resentment is continual meditation on the offense.